Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page. If you're sick and tired of the commercials on the show, like the one I'm reading right now, I've got a solution for you. For just $15 per month, you can get the Ultimate Edition of this podcast. Here's what that means. The Ultimate Edition combines the free version of the show with the post-mortem show that we record after the end credits. Plus, we take out all the commercials just for you. That means you get the hour-long free show, plus the 20-minute post-mortem show where all the real fun happens. And you get all of that without commercials for just $15 per month. That's support for this fully independent podcast. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Today, Crossfire is very different. We have just one guest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crossfire, John Stewart.
Thank you.
I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have, privately, amongst my friends, and also in occasional newspapers and television shows, mentioned this show as being bad.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that wasn't fair, and I should come here and tell you that I don't, it's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to
but
come here today
let me,
and say,
wait,
no, just,
let me,
here's just one, what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America.
Okay, now let me,
and come work you, for us, because we, as the people.
How do you pay?
The people, not well.
Better than CNN, I'm sure.
But you can sleep at night. See, the thing is, we need your help. You're, right now, you're helping the politicians and the corporations, and we're left out there to mow our lawns.
You just said we're too rough on them when they make mistakes.
No, you're not too rough on them. You're part of their strategies. Your partisan, what do you call it, hacks.
Bob Seska!
Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice.
The Bob Seska Show.
That's been going around Twitter. I thought we'd play the beginning portion of it because it's so awesome. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 6, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 107 of the Biden-Harris administration, 550 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Here they are. It is Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com and patreon.com/fromthebunker. Go and support him. Please do. Also, David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/T-Rex Report. Also, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. We've got a debut world premiere song from Astral Summer later today. And it's a perfect occasion for David's microphone to completely crap out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're starting late today, and that part of it's my fault because there was someone who was wrong on Twitter, and of course I had to deal with that, and that's why we're partly late. The other reason we're late is because we're having technical issues, as we normally do. But I think we've got them sorted out. David, are you sounding okay? I think you are. I think we got that worked out.
God willing. Doesn't nobody make any sudden moves.
Don't touch anything. Yeah, we got you a new microphone, and it sounded great last week, so it was good for at least one show.
It was
show.
Working great last night. I was working on vocals. I think, I don't know what to think. As soon as I get off the air today, I think I'm going to drag my computer over to the Genius Bar and be like, wah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wah.
If that fails, just like a wiffle bat, just give it a good whack. I just find that if something's going haywire, either give it like 24 hours or just punch it. Do something.
That's more of an IBM clone response, I think, a PC. With a Mac, you have to bring it like some comfrey tea and maybe like a, you know, lavender scented gin and tonic and speak soothingly to it of this is us.
So we're going to deal with a teeny tiny T-Rex and his little shoebox, but it's good enough to proceed. The other thing I want to talk about here right at the top of the show too is I did one of those things. When you were a kid, did either of you ever accidentally refer to your teacher as mom? Did that ever happen?
Yeah.
Did you do
it,
David? See, I've done it. I think I recall maybe in...
I think pretty much every kid at some point just slips up.
Yeah.
It was just weird that it was Mr. Bloodworth, though. That was the weird thing.
Even funnier that his name was Mr. Bloodworth.
Yeah, he was my fourth grade. He was my fourth grade English teacher and homeroom teacher.
Yeah, and you called him mom.
I think I called Mrs. Shedding mom once, but I just figured I'd throw that.
Well, I had one of those moments last night. I was sitting around watching TV. Of course, Kimberly is away helping her mom now, and I'm sitting here growing my beard like a... I'm looking like I should be hiding out in like a bunker in northern Michigan, stockpiling ammunition or something like that right about
now. North of the wall.
So I was watching TV last night, and I decided to send Kimberly a little nice little romantic message. Just an I love you with a little heart emoji, which I did. And then I looked up at the top of the screen on my phone to realize I didn't send that to Kimberly. I sent that to Jody Hamilton. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking, holy shit. Immediately I went, fuck, 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 fuck.
Don't worry, Lonnie's fine.
No, no, okay.
Lonnie's fine. It's fine.
That's what I was imagining.
I accidentally sent my landlord the cover art to the scene. Like in the middle of this, like, intense discussion about the rent possibly being late and just back and forth about him wanting to sell the house. And I was like, oh, here's the cover art.
That's so fucking funny. Yeah, well,
he's
this is
like, that looks very nice. But
I immediately had to send a follow-up text going, whoops, I'm sorry, that was meant for Kimberly. And then because I was typing it so quickly, there were all kinds of typos. So the response didn't make any sense either. And then, of course,
Jody's like, blink twice if you're in danger.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wrote back. He, you know, when he corrected himself pretty much immediately, I went, well, I love Kimberly, too.
Yeah.
You know.
I know, that was so perfect. That was the perfect, perfect response. And then, of course, I had to text Kimberly to say the same thing and then follow it up with, yeah, you know, I accidentally just texted that to Jody. And then you know what I did? I asked Kimberly, did you ever call your teacher, like in first grade or second grade or whatever, call your teacher mom? Big gap of silence after that question where I was thinking Kimberly's like, Bob's crazy. Bob called one of his teachers mom. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And and of course she replies, and she never did it. She never made that slip. So I look like Ralph Wiggums from The Simpsons, right? On top of having to explain the fact that I expressed my true love for Jody Hamilton via text message. Oh, God damn it.
Do you want to hear the most embarrassing? No, I can't share this on the air.
Okay.
That bad.
What's stopping you now, David?
Really?
I was 20.
Oh, here we go.
My wisdom teeth out. You know, and they had me on the nitrous, and I was a little groggy.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, my dentist was very handsome. And I sort of grayed out for a second, and I came to like sucking on his fingers.
Oh no! What? Oh my God! How did that? What did you pick up his hand, and why did he allow you to do that?
It was very short, and I don't even think he realized what was going on. I think he thought I was about to yawn or gag or something. But, I mean,
God damn it. He's still talking to a psychiatrist about that one. He's like, I don't know what happened.
Probably.
I was pulling out this guy's wisdom teeth, and suddenly he started sucking on my fingers for no reason. I don't know. Well, like, what does that mean, Doc?
I think that he had just, like, he was, like, checking to see, like, he had put the hypodermic down. I remember that because he was numbing me up and I was really high.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, I think just probing the tissue. And the next thing I know, I'm just like, yeah, daddy. Right. You know, like.
Oh, now I'm picturing Jennifer Aniston in Horrible Bosses, so there's all sorts of things going through my head right now.
Oh, my God. That is so
funny. He was so handsome. But then once when I was, like, getting my teeth examined, I looked up, and I noticed that there was a little bit of cocaine stuck to the inside of his nostril. This is years later, even. And, you know, like, dentists have, like, pharmaceutical-grade cocaine on the premises at all times. You know that, right?
Oh, well, good. Make sure we advertise that one. Every dentist listening in is going to be like, shut the fuck up, T-Rex.
I'm going to email my friend. I'm going to email my friend Dale, who is a dentist, and ask him.
Yeah. Do you have any cocaine?
It stops bleeding instantly. So if you have an emergency bleed in someone's mouth and nothing is stopping it, they can go to the vault and they can get the cocaine and they can pack it and it will stop the blood because it restricts the blood vessels.
Oh, sure. It stops the blood, but they'll never shut the fuck up. That's the problem. All right. Well, here's what, as I said at the top of the show, we're running late today, partly because someone was wrong on the internet. And so I had to deal with that.
What?
Yeah.
Someone was wrong on the internet. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know. It was one of those things where I hadn't even
already.
It was like 10 minutes before we're ready to start. And I ended up down this rabbit hole on Twitter. And it started with the fact that I've been thinking a lot about Trump's new blog. He started a new blog from the desk of Donald J. Trump. The funniest thing about this blog, first of all, the fact that it's, you know, a blog. Here we are in 2021. Donald Trump's just figuring out blogs. But I noticed there's a...
Wait till he gets a MySpace.
I know. Just he's building a bridge to 2006 is what he's doing. Very, very forward thinking of him. One of the posts on the blog is like a launch video because, of course, he can't post anything on YouTube either. So he's got his own video platform on this blog as well. And so I watched this video. And first of all, as Hal Sparks said, when Hal Sparks talked about the video on his streaming show, by the way, you should be watching Hal Sparks' streaming show on YouTube and Twitch and whatever. It is so goddamn funny. But one of the things Hal noticed is that there's a graphic where you start in space and you zoom way in onto Mar-a-Lago. And it looks like you're following like the nuclear missile as it launches from a space platform. And it's pointing to run at Mar-a-Lago. But I also noticed that there's a bit of text that comes up in this video, and it says, a place to speak freely and safely. As if everyone's allowed to sign up for Donald Trump's blog. As if everyone's allowed to comment. And, you know, but no one else can appear on Donald Trump's blog except for Donald Trump. So a place to speak freely and safely is just about Donald Trump being able to do that. That's it. And notice,
which people
too,
can do on their own blogs anyway.
Yeah. And notice also that you can't share any of Donald Trump's blog posts directly using one of those little buttons, you know, one of the little social media buttons. There's no button to share to Parler. There's no button to share to Mike Lindell's Frank, whatever his Twitter knockoff is. So all you can do is share to Facebook and Twitter, which Donald Trump's not even allowed to go on anyway. So I was looking at this thing and I was thinking about it. And I noticed a couple of people today had said something about how we shouldn't share anything that Donald Trump says. And then a couple of other people chimed in and were like, yeah, you shouldn't even say his name out loud. You should call him the former guy. La, 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 la. And I said, oh, my God. Holy shit. So, you know, sometimes liberals are so bad at this fighting thing, this, you know, getting pissed off and counterattacking the enemy, treating political opponents the way they need to be treated. If ignoring Donald Trump and not even saying his name was actually a thing that would work to marginalize him in some way, if that was really a thing, why didn't Lincoln do that with the Confederacy? Why didn't we could have saved the hundreds of thousands of lives in World War II if we had just ignored the Nazis? You know what I mean? Not said Hitler's name out loud, because that would have totally stymied him, wouldn't it? And here's the thing, though. We tried that before World War II. We tried that throughout the 1930s.
We tried it in 2015.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We try. Well, we try.
It just, it does not work.
It does not work. Yeah.
And nothing makes your ass into a bullseye faster than mm-hmm. burying your head in the fucking sand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, yep. it's like if you ignore, you inspire people to harm you. You mm-hmm. like, I mean, it's just, no, it's, you know, we try to like look the other way.
Yeah.
With Trump. And there's there is a happy medium somewhere where you're not just like spreading his message by complaining about him. But I mean, it is, and it's a thorny thing in that regard. But I just like if you
it's,
know,
it's
if
actually
I
not.
Ignored the bullies that used to, you know, bother me when I was trying to walk to school in the morning, yeah. I could have taken a rock to the head.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
pay attention to the threat. You know.
Right.
Well, the problem would be the problem, as far as I'm concerned, with Donald Trump's blog and talking about Donald Trump's blog is the notion of not talking about Donald Trump's blog, just mm-hmm. uncritically posting. Like if the New York Times just wrote an article for the A section and said, Donald Trump said this today. And then that was it. No criticism, mm-hmm. no mockery, nothing. It was just Donald Trump said this on his blog. That's amplifying Donald Trump. But right. mentioning something that he has said while relentlessly mocking it and attacking it and debunking it and explaining why it's fucking horrible, that's what you do in politics to counterattack your political opponents. That is going through and exposing sunlight. That, I mean, we talked about this, God, David, going back to Blogosphere 1.0. Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Yep.
We expose this shit. We're taking the piss out of it. We're disarming it. We're marginalizing it by criticizing
and by
it.
And letting
by
it go down the memory hole, we're yeah. just perpetuating it. Because as long as we let this whole, like, Americans forget what happened 15 minutes ago thing mm-hmm. happen,
yep.
the insurrectionist, the seditionist, and I mean, it's just that it's already in danger of not being acknowledged and meted out enough punishment mm-hmm. to these people. Like, so we have to keep our focus where we have to ridicule them because it is the most powerful weapon in our arsenal.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
one of the greatest ways to meet authoritarianism is to mock it
mm-hmm.
because its biggest threat, it makes you feel bullied, it makes you feel lonely, it makes you feel vulnerable and out of control. But if you can make it look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The isolationism of the 1930s horrendously backfired. I mean, we were way mm-hmm. late, way slow on the uptake when it came to talking about the Nazis and doing something proactive as far as the buildup of Hitler and then the eventual storming through Europe. And we're all over here going, well, I don't know, maybe if we don't do anything, we're going to be okay. Well, no, that's not how it works. Plus, how do liberals/normals, anyone who's anti-Trump, basically, how do we successfully build popular support for indictments and accountability against Donald Trump without using his proper name or even talking about him out loud? I mean, since when do we confront existential threats by saying, la, 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 not listening? It's like pushing for equality without mentioning racists, misogynists, and homophobes. You know, this is not how it works. In order to attack racism and racists and in order to attack misogynists, you don't just ignore them and hope they disappear or hope they're somehow magically vanished. That's just not how it works. And I get the idea that Donald Trump thrives on attention. I mean, that was one of the replies that I was trying to swat down a little bit on Twitter this afternoon is the idea. Well, he's just Bob. He wants attention and you're giving him attention. Yes, but it's not about depriving Donald Trump of attention. It's about depriving Donald Trump of power. And mm-hmm. right now, Trump and everyone who is an adherent of Trumpism is amassing power. While we're all sitting here going, gah, 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 not listening. They're amassing power, getting ready to sweep back into government in 22, 24, 26, or all points in between.
Right.
And then what do we say when that happens? Why, oh, why did this happen? How did this happen? Well, maybe because we were too frail and brittle to even mention Donald Trump's name out loud, even in the process of relentlessly mocking him. I mean, how many times do you have to say hashtag former guy before you might as well just say hashtag Trump? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like you're putting the name in your head anyway. You know what I mean?
I see both sides of this because on the one, I mean, like I've only really started to enjoy Twitter.
Yeah.
Since he left.
Yeah.
Like, right. I mean, and part of it is the ubiquity of his just foulness and the fact that, like, you don't have to be on Twitter or to follow him on Twitter to get exposed to the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get it thrown in your face. And it's just, ugh.
Well, I understand from a personal point of view, if you're just sick and tired of talking about Donald Trump, just go off and don't even, you know, when the name Trump comes up in your thing, don't look at it or read it.
Right.
Just ignore it if you want to personally. But as a broader strategy, it's just a gigantic mistake.
Well, I think calling him the former guy, though, bugs the fuck out of him.
But he's not even on Twitter.
Yeah, but Jen Psaki refers to him that way. Joe Biden refers to him that way. Others are referring to him
and
that way.
Still,
he knows about that. There is no way he does
and
not
know
about
Twitter
it.
And you know he combs Twitter looking for his name.
And he's on MeWe right now. We can just go, hey, former guy, fuck you.
Yeah.
He doesn't like... He hates being mocked, and when he goes down to his fucking lobby where the house band is playing at Mar-a-Lago and does his, you know, hits, it's pitiful.
I assume
some people in that room are laughing at him, and I want to, if it were free for me to go there, I would wait for him to get there and just burst out laughing and point and go, look at him, he's such a fucking idiot, you know?
He's so lifelike.
Yeah. Oh my God, is that him or is it an animatronic? What is? Oh, look at that tie. Oh my God, that tie. Oh, his hair. What is up? I mean, I'd be dragged out, but boy, would I have fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about that. Oliver Willis tweeted this a couple of days ago, and I plan to mention this just in passing on Tuesday, but it's much more appropriate in the context of this conversation. He said, just randomly in another thread, he said, from my point of view, the liberal mindset is always that an election, quote unquote, fixed it. And then people slide away while the right is constantly engaged. And then we're surprised when they never truly went away. I think that was really well said. And I made sure to retweet that one to get it out there, because that's what we did. I mean, that's what we did in 2009. Oh, Barack Obama's president now and everything's fine again. So whatever, let's walk away and go do something else. And then suddenly the Republicans take back Congress in 2010 and we're all screwed. This is history just potentially repeating itself. I'm not going to say it's going to repeat itself, because things have changed significantly in terms of politics between 2010 and 2022. But still, this is a thing that we need to keep our heads wrapped around. This notion that the job is never
infrastructure.
What's that?
You know, there's a whole right wing infrastructure that we don't have.
Yeah.
Think tanks,
people
who are just, you know, like Ben Shapiro. He gets paid by like foundations to do this propaganda and misinformation. And for whatever reasons, the left has never caught into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if we're going to get donations, we're going to go and get fresh water to people in, you know, Native Americans community. It's just, we have a different mentality toward it, but it creates a huge problem because it takes up so much bandwidth.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the whole, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Just the whole Fox News phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's like that geyser of oil, the deep water horizon spill of information that just keeps gushing poison every day and every night. There's going to be a giant chunk of our population that is functionally like not thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we simply can't allow that to continue without saying anything. I mean, that's the thing, because I also hear this not just in terms of Donald Trump, but with other people in the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, for example, Tucker Carlson. I don't mention him. Tuckums. It's going to give him attention. You know,
must now be henceforth known as Tuckums.
Well,
thank you, Joy Reid.
I mean, I feel like I'm in pretty good company with this point of view as far as giving Donald Trump, quote unquote, oxygen and so on. John Oliver did a whole thing on Tucker Carlson a few weeks ago, in which he started right at the beginning by saying, you know what, some people have said to me, why are you giving Tucker Carlson more attention? And John Oliver made a really good case for why it's important to point this shit out, to call out people like Tucker Carlson. And he said, first of all, Tucker Carlson is already famous. Me talking about Tucker Carlson is not going to make him more famous. And you also got to remember, you got to think in terms of the bubble mentality. All they really care about is that the bubble people are well stoked and ready to roll when it comes to the next election. And that's the important thing. What some guy says, some liberal says on Twitter in the middle of the afternoon or whenever the hell it isn't really relevant to the reamassing of power that is taking place with Donald Trump right now. And despite the fact that he's been kicked off of all these social media platforms, he is still in the process of gathering strength, reconstituting and at least maintaining the power that he had coming out of the election and building that toward another run. And he's going to run again. We need to assume that he will. Let's be pleasantly surprised when he doesn't. But in the meantime, the possible.
I really thought you were going to say, let's be pleasantly surprised when he dies.
Well, look, Rachel Bitticoffer tweeted something about the strength of the pro-Trump cult. She wrote this the other day. In fact, Kimberly Johnson retweeted this earlier today. Rachel Bitticoffer said, the GOP is tossing a dyed-in-the-wool ideological conservative in Liz Cheney for an ideological moderate in Elise Stefanik, because the only ideology that matters now is the Republican Party's allegiance to an authoritarian demagogue, Donald Trump. And that's Rachel Bitticoffer. Exactly. So this shows you the importance of Trumpism and how it supersedes everything else. The Republicans, especially the congressional Republicans, are in the process of purging any Trump disloyalists out of their ranks, including Liz Cheney. Probably Mitt Romney's up next. If he was in some sort of position of higher power in the Senate, then he may have already been chopped. I mean, he may have already been booted out of that because of what he said and the way he's voted. So this just shows you that the forecast that we were talking about during the transition, like which way is the Republican Party going to swing now? Are they going to distance themselves from Trump, or are they going to fully embrace that third rail of Trumpism? And yeah, fucking A, they're embracing the third rail of Trumpism. That's what they're doing now. And it's very clear by what's happening in the House and Kevin McCarthy and Liz Cheney and trying to find a new head of the Republican conference. I mean, this should be a strong indication in terms of where they're headed for 22. They're going full Trumpism. And we do not defeat Trumpism if we're afraid to say the word Trumpism. Oh my God, that's basic shit. You know, you could decide not to talk about some of his quotes or some of the tenets of Trumpism, and that's fine. It's but at least say like the name. Jesus.
It's like refusing to say COVID. It's like, if I don't say COVID, I'll just have the flu.
Yeah, that's 1,000% true. Lots more to talk about today. I want to talk about Facebook rabbit season duck seasoning the Red Hats into supporting corporate regulation. This is another gigantic story this week. Facebook's oversight board made its decision on Wednesday morning. And we all thought on Tuesday, based on some rumors floating around, that the oversight board was going to rule in Donald Trump's favor. And they almost did. I mean, they punted down the road a little bit.
They kicked the can.
Yeah. And so their decision was, yeah, he should remain suspended, but it can't be indefinite. I mean, that'd be crazy talk to indefinitely suspend someone from Facebook. My God.
They're hoping he's going to die too.
Well, Jesus, people get suspended from Facebook all the time. I was telling Fugelsang last night on his show. So, you know, Kimberly Johnson, all she did was she would take a link and post it on her profile page on Facebook. And then she was adminning several other Facebook pages. And she'd say, well, these other pages might be interested in seeing this link too. She should take the same link and post it on the other pages that she was managing on Facebook. And overnight, with the Thanos snap, her entire Facebook presence was wiped out in an instant, irreparably. She was banned for life from continuing to run those pages. I mean, she could obviously sign up again, which she has, but all of her shit, years and years of cultivating posts and photographs, and she had maxed out all of her friends. She had built massive followings on the pages. I mean, in the hundreds of thousands, all of it disappeared in a blink, not a warning, nothing. Oh, but we got to make sure we don't offend Donald Trump and the conservatives. Joel Kaplan at Facebook is the highest ranking Republican at that corporation, and he has immense sway. We heard back in February of 2020 about how Joel Kaplan was saying, oh, look, we can't target all these posts and pages for disinformation because it's going to disproportionately affect conservatives. Well, what does that tell you about conservatives? So basically,
he draws you 180 wrong conclusion from that. Then we need less regulation.
Yeah.
Not we need to maybe examine our core principles.
Exactly.
Facebook is smoking. We know it's not good for us, but it makes us feel a little better.
Well,
so we do it anyway, even as the price gets higher and higher and more of our information gets mined and we get subject to more and more disinformation and feel the real world effects of that.
Well, that's
it really is harmful.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're kind of fucked, because if you want to stay in touch with your friends, you want to stay in touch with your family, and you don't always live in the same town as your friends and family, so you can get together on Sundays for Sunday dinner or whatever the fuck, a lot of us can't do that. So Facebook is crucial for maintaining those bonds. And until something better comes along, it's either ostracize ourselves from our family and friends by abandoning Facebook, or just sticking with it and having to deal with all the fuckery. And that's where I am right now with Facebook. I would love to drop Facebook. In fact, I've been cultivating MeWe for, you know, for forever.
I just can't with that name.
I know. That's the only problem. Follow me on MeWe.
It's like MeWe.
Yeah, it sounds like a euphemism for peeing is what it sounds like, which peeing is also a euphemism.
It sounds like a New Zealander trying to say May Day or something.
We all know the trouble with Facebook, and we know that people get summarily banned. I think TV's Frank Conniff was suspended from Facebook for 30 days. Ed Feldman from The Furniture Guys, who I've had on the show a lot, Ed Feldman always gets suspended. It's never a full week unless Ed Feldman has been suspended from Facebook for some reason. But we got to give the conservatives special dispensation, because they're going to get all pissy pants about it. It's the liberal media nonsense again. They scream so loudly for so long about the liberal media bias that people began to take it seriously, irrespective of the fact that it was wrong. There is no liberal media bias. There have been volumes and volumes written about that. How that's a big lie.
Right.
And yet it's been taken seriously because they've said it long enough. So what they're saying is, well, you know, Facebook is against conservatives. Facebook is, their algorithms are screwing with conservatives. Well, no, you just engage in fuckery more often than everyone else. That's all that is. It's like when Stephen Colbert says reality has a well-known liberal bias. It's just how shit susses out. You can't artificially inflate the veracity of conservatism. It's just fucking wrong. So Facebook.
I just kind of realized that we all need to change our first name to TVs. TVs, David Ferguson. And people are like, you know, hi, I'm TVs Bob Seska.
Well, see, I refer often to Buzz Burbank as TV's Buzz Burbank, because Buzz actually does voiceovers for TV commercials. So that is actually 100% true. And in fact, TV's Frank was also on, you know, TV for a while, too. He was on that little show called Mystery Science Theater.
Love that show.
Yeah, my next cat's going to be named TV's something.
Yeah.
My mom wanted us to all change our first names to either Contessa.
Nice.
Or Doctor.
Yeah, that's fucking funny. That's what Dr. Jody Hamilton, or that would be just Dr.
Jody
Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Okay,
or Dr. Hamilton. Either one. You Dr. know, Hamilton. Just add it in front of your first name. It doesn't matter. Just that's what we Contessa or Doctor.
If I remember Doctor, if I remember to do it, I'm going to refer to you as Dr.
Contessa.
Hamilton.
So then you can wear a stethoscope and a tiara.
And I like that. Dr. Contessa Jody. I like that.
All right. We're going to talk about the rabbit season, duck season portion of this Facebook decision in just a second. We're going to take a short break and be back with more show right after these words.
OMG, I am using a new skincare system that I absolutely love. People say puffiness and bags under the eyes are the hardest things to get rid of. Until now, introducing Genucel plant stem cell therapy from Chamonix, specifically targeting eye puffiness and bags. Due to new technology, Genucel is an incredibly powerful natural serum, and with its instant effects, it's guaranteed to show results in as little as 12 hours or your money back. That's right, users saw results in only 12 hours with dramatic improvement in 2 weeks. A true Chamonix classic, Genucel contains 8 extra ingredients to significantly reduce the appearance of bags and puffiness. Plus, Genucel uses patented plant stem cell technology to improve longevity and brilliant long-term results. You can try Genucel right now, absolutely risk-free. Go to lovegenucel.com/Stephanie. Enter that special promo code Stephanie for an extra 10% off. Order now and get the legendary Genucel XV face cream absolutely free just for trying Genucel today. Chamonix, the best skincare, best results, or your money back. That's lovegenucel, GENUCEL.com/Stephanie. lovegenucel.com/Stephanie.
The Bob Seska Show. to me, let me enfold you.
Yeah, it's Dave Martin, David Ferguson. Here I am. Produced by Lonnie Paul, or mastered by Lonnie Paul, I should say. This is Astral Summer. Yes. Brand new song is a song to the siren. It's a cover of This Mortal Coil's cover of Tim Buckley's song, right? Did I get that right? Did I get the chain?
You nailed it.
All right, perfect.
You are
I was going to ask if that was the one that Lonnie just mastered the other day.
Yes, indeed. Yes. It sounds great.
You're so kind because I had no money to offer him. I'm like, Lonnie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your loser friend. He's
see, now
I was like, I'm coming to you to, because this is the thing, though. So many artists don't get paid.
Yeah.
So people are like, can we use these pictures and not pay you? You know, and it's just like, I hate to ask a fellow, you know, but I just was, have we been so broke? And but I was like, Lonnie, we've got a song that's going to be on Bob's show, and I want it to be mastered. Do you mind, please, please? And he's like, happy to help.
Yeah.
And he sent it back, and it's,
Astral Sun.
It's like he bedazzled it. It's like it became like it
he went does from, have a bedazzler, so there is a possibility.
That's
it
right.
It sounds so good. Like there's this separation now between the sounds where you can. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it really pained me because we this show is recorded in mono, so I had to. Had to mix it down to mono, which, by the way, the Indie Music Countdown is in full stereo. So at least the Indie Music Countdown entered into the 1970s in terms of the technology. But yeah, so you're gonna
you don't have a big 8-track clunk in there.
Yeah, I know. Well, people complain. If I do a stereo show, it's the file size is twice as big, and people complain.
Yeah,
to me,
you have to do it mono because it's a talk show. It's not a. You have to.
Exactly. So it's astralsummer.
So Midnight, that's going up on our Bandcamp site. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is one of the days when Bandcamp is foregoing its revenue share.
Oh, right,
so we'll get every penny that you spend on it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like $1.99.
Okay.
And I you know, my cat died and it was really awful.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't write for weeks and weeks. I'm finally starting to be able to move the pen again, but I had to do something. So we did a cover, and it's all about love that, you know, that's the thing, the price we pay for love is that we have to give things up.
Well, I love how atmospheric it is and how much heart is put into it. And now everyone's going to be calling up Lonnie saying, can you master my song for free?
I just want people to be slow dancing and making out to that song all summer. That's what I want. It is a touch me summer again.
There you go.
So slow dance and kiss to your heart's content.
Yeah. Well, right. That's it. We got to select the song of the summer here. So somewhere on the batch of songs here, this will certainly be a contender. Let's see. Moving along back to rabbit season, duck season. I keep mentioning this, but what happened was because of this oversight board decision, the broader Red Hat Entertainment Complex completely lost its spadoinkle, freaked the fuck out so badly that now people like Stephen Miller, Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, Charlie Kirk are talking about regulating corporations and splitting up monopolies. Stephen Miller tweeted, today's egregious decision from the Facebook Oversight Board is a threat to democracy itself.
No, you're going to say it right. Today's egregious decision.
Yes, I forgot the proper accent. And he said, big tech must be broken up and regulated as public utilities. Jim Jordan wrote, break them up, meaning Facebook. Former chief of staff Mark Meadows said, it's a sad day for Facebook because I can tell you a number of members of Congress are now looking at, do they break up Facebook? Do they make sure that they don't have a monopoly? Charlie Kirk wrote, this is a big tech corporate oligarchy without standing, and it's gone too far. Enough is enough. So, you know, Jody, you listen to the Tom Hartman radio program, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, every show between like 12 and 28 times, Tom Hartman talks about bringing back the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Yeah,
right?
That's all
one
the
of
the, time.
That's one of Tom Hartman's things. And Tom Hartman is a Portland, Bernie, far-left liberal. I love Tom Hartman. I think he's a great broadcaster. But this is one of his things. And suddenly now you got Charlie Kirk and Jim Jordan talking about the same goddamn things, breaking up monopolies. Well, good. You know what I think? I think the Democrats need to call their bluff. I think the Democrats need to say, okay, let's all sit down. We can break up Facebook. I've got no problem. I don't think either of you guys have any trouble breaking up Facebook. Sure, break them up. I would love to be able to post on Instagram, look at Instagram without worrying about Mark Zuckerberg and the taint that he put on that one, because I love Instagram. But so fine, I'm all for breaking it up. But can we also break up News Corp? Let's break up Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break up iHeartMedia. Let's break up all of the monopolies on local broadcasting and local journalism, newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, let's break up. There's a particular corporation. It's got, I don't know, thousands of subsidiaries. It's called the Trump Organization. How about we break them up? How about we regulate gun manufacturers?
What's their monopoly on not paying their workers?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what does that mean? Yeah. I mean, the Trump conglomerate is huge, but what are you going to, I mean, if you're insisting it's making an unfair competition.
It did in D.C. for a while against other hotel, you know, there was an issue there.
I mean, look at Charlie Kirk actually used the phrase corporate oligarchy. That's something you see on Ryan Knight's Twitter feed. You know what I mean? What were you going to say, Jody?
This is how you make them do what we want. Mm-hmm. We have Facebook do what it is legally allowed to do, along with Twitter. They're conflating the government censorship with private entities saying, hey, you got to wear a suit and tie to walk into my restaurant.
Right, right.
Or you can't come in my restaurant, or you need a vaccine, proof of vaccine to watch. Because my friend David, who I do my show with, he runs a nightclub. Yeah. And it looks like LA is going to start allowing, it's a, more of a bar now. It used to have live music. It doesn't anymore. Mm-hmm. It's more bottle. It's very fancy schmancy now. So they're allowed to open, I think, today officially, because they don't serve food. So they hadn't been until now. And I said to him, I said, are you going to require vaccine for people to come into your establishment, whether they work there or as, you know, customers? He says, am I allowed to? I said, you can force them to wear a suit and tie. Why not?
Yeah, it's just like you do not have a right to like barge. I mean, you don't have any right to put other people at risk. Period. Yeah.
Well, the thing is it's very funny. I mean, when I used to go out at night, you know, because I go to bed at 7:30 now.
Right.
Like when you texted me last night, Bob, I'm like, he's up so late. You know, Lonnie and I were literally brushing our teeth, getting ready for bed.
You meant to say accidentally texted you last night.
Yes. When you made that mistake last night, very late at night, it was like 10:30 your time. I'm like, he's awake. What is wrong with him? Anyway, because we were both like brushing our teeth going, why is he up so late? We never are.
So embarrassing.
I'm still picturing the, you know, the I Love Lucy set.
Yes.
You know, and you've got curlers and like the full nightgown to the floor. And
I do. It's like an old lady like nightgown, and I wear granny panties and everything. It's really, really sexy over here. Anyway, so when we used to go out, you know, it's like there was this one nightclub that we went to. My friend Candace and I went with Carrie Elwes, the actor, and a mutual friend of ours, Phil Roy. They were close friends. Mm-hmm. So we went out to dinner, and then we all decided to go to the Roxbury, and they had a dress code. And it was basically you had to look, you know, club chic. And one of their hardcore requirements was you couldn't wear tennis shoes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody could.
Yeah.
So Phil and Carrie were both wearing tennis shoes with nice suits, but they were still both wearing tennis shoes. And because Carrie was famous, the doorman said he can come in, but he can't. And Carrie went, why can I come in? He goes, well, you're Carrie Elwes. He goes, well, if you have this dress code, why are you allowing me to, you know, not abide by it? And they said, well, because you're famous. He goes, well, then I'm not coming here.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
you good know, and he's like, that's not right. It's like, because when Chasen's and Trader Vic's were, Trader Vic's is still around at the Beverly Hilton, but back in when I was a kid, if you went to Chasen's especially, and Trader Vic's, if you did, women had to wear dresses, and it's the same still at the Magic Castle. You have to wear suits, and women cannot get in pantsuits still. Yeah.
Carrie Elwes missed an opportunity there, too. He could have said, oh, you can't wear tennis shoes in here? As you wish.
As you wish. I think he may have said that because he's adorable.
Sorry. Apologies to Carrie Elwes. I'm sorry.
Well, we left. We were like, fuck it. We're going to go someplace else. But so at Chasen's, they used to literally, especially in the 70s, hi, sir, you need to wear a jacket and tie. You don't have one. Yeah. And they would literally hand you like this awful orange, you know, too big for everybody and this wide ass tie like in 1980, you know, just as look as stupid. And if you wanted to wear it, you were allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever eaten in an officer's club on a military base?
I have not. No.
That is exactly the deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you show up without the proper attire, they have a blazer that they will put on you, but it is gross.
It's hideous. Yeah.
And then there's a, like a shirt front kind of thing that sort of tucks in that's got like a tie on it.
Mm-hmm.
So from a distance, you don't break the scenery, but it's not comfortable and it's smelly and it's kind of a hair shirt in a way of like punishing you.
And well, that's the thing. I mean, these mask holes that are like, oh, I shouldn't have. Well, dude, you have to wear shoes and a shirt. What's your fucking problem?
Yeah, they're just doing it to own the libs. That's all. There's no logical justification for any of this shit. They're either anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists or they're just, it's
scary. I've realized I'm looking at them and they're scared like little kids.
Yeah.
Like, seeing people without their faces and just the masks, it's plugging into some like little like primal toddler thing. And then they're just it's not what I'm used to.
Well, they're also listening to Tucker Carlson every night. And Tucker Carlson has just been saying
Tuckums.
Yeah.
It's just going to be Tuckums from now on. It has to be. It sounds like an incontinence garment.
It's like a conga line of conspiracy theories and lies. I mean, he's been saying lately 30 people every day are dying from vaccines.
That's not true.
Here's what he said. He said between late December of 2020 and last month, a total of 3,300 people apparently died after getting the COVID vaccine in the United States, he exclaimed. That is an average of roughly 30 people every day. So what does that add up to? By the way, that reporting period ended on April 23rd, and we don't have numbers past that. And so what he's getting wrong here is he's referencing something called the VAERS system.
Right.
Centers for Disease Control's Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Right.
And, Rachel Maddow covered this a little bit the other night. This system allows for anyone to post on it, irrespective of whether the claims have been peer reviewed or even legitimate.
Yeah, I have one of the things. They handed me one when I got my second shot.
Yeah. So the other thing is about this stupid claim about 3,300 people dying from the vaccine. Well, a lot of the people who initially got the vaccine were older people. And the general trend is, at least for now, people often get old and die. I don't know if you're aware of this, but, sometimes older people end up dying just from natural causes. This is the way life goes, the circle of life. People die at the end of their life cycle.
Wait, I don't turn into a unicorn?
Not today. Not today, no. David. Not today.
Not unless you're a Tucker Carlson viewer, apparently.
The mistake Tucker's making is assuming that, any of his viewers can count higher than 20 without taking their pants off.
Yeah.
One, two, three, they got to have the appendages to count on anything higher than that. That's just science. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
But see, this is what Tucker Carlson does. He takes something that's got the patina of legitimacy and turns it into a conspiracy theory. All these people are dying. And he continues on, he says, so what is the real number of people who apparently have been killed or injured by the vaccine? We don't know that number. Nobody does. And we're not going to speculate about it on this show, but it is clear what is happening now, for whatever reason, is not even close to normal. It's not even close to what we see in previous years with previous vaccines.
No. Yeah. For even if he were accurate, even if what he was saying was true, in the United States alone, 145 million of us have had at least one dose?
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone
and only 3,300 people have died in the country from it? Look at the statistics on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's. I think the percentage turns out to be like 0.0017. That's the actual number, according to the CDC. And that's, again, because people die. You know the actual number of people who have been killed by the COVID vaccine? Zero.
And what can happen is there is a 94.5% chance you're not going to get it if you are fully vaccinated with the two-dose vaccines, right? Team Pfizer here. Anyway,
House Pfizer.
Anyway,
we do more than Viagra.
But so say that is the case, right? That X amount of people are dying from it. Say you get, you have, 5.5% chance of actually catching COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there is a small percentage of people that will get sick from COVID. that are vaccinated. And then there's an even smaller percentage of those people who get COVID, who are hospitalized after being vaccinated, that will die. Yep. But it's infinitesimal compared to people that aren't vaccinated, whether they had COVID or not.
Yeah.
Before. And so for him to even if his numbers were accurate, it's still not comparatively. We've lost 500,000 people and 30 million of us have contracted the disease. Do the math, Tucker.
I'd be interested to know what would happen if the CDC closed off the VAERS reporting site, just made it almost impossible for just randos to go on there and report crazy shit. Like Vice reported that the database was being abused by people trying to sow fear, claiming that COVID vaccines have, quote, roughly 50 times the rate of adverse events from the flu vaccines by relying solely on the VAERS data. Vice noted there are a number of disclaimers when you search the VAERS database. One reads, reports may include incomplete, inaccurate, coincidental, and unverified information. And that's where Tucker Carlson is getting all of his data for his fucking bug-eyed rants every night. Oh, my God. And we wonder, why, oh, why are people shirking the vaccine? Why can't we reach herd immunity? Well, we've got patient zero for this particular virus, the virus of disinformation, right there, Tucker Carlson. You could also loop in Joe Rogan as well.
But he said he's drunk and high most of the time and not to listen to him.
That was Rogan? Rogan said that?
Yeah. Joe Rogan, basically, after he got all that backlash from saying to 21-year-olds, don't bother, he, I guess, went on his show and he said, look, I'm drunk and high most of the time and I'm not a medical professional, so don't fucking listen to me. And it's like, dude, even if you're sober, don't fucking listen to you.
The Johns Hopkins of bro science. This is what happens on that show. All right, we're going to talk about DeSantis and the Florida election law right after one last break. Back with more show after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Oh, the great Richard Turgeon right here. Brand new cover from him. I'll Feel a Lot Better, covering the Byrds, of course. This is from his album 10 Covers, Volume 2. You got to pick this one up. I think we've heard from Rich and a couple of songs from this album. We heard previously his cover of The Monkees, and we heard previously his cover of Tom Petty here on the show. And this is, of course, his cover of the Byrds. Just so worth picking up. I mean, you want an album that there are many songs of the summer in there. This is definitely it. RichardTurgeon.bandcamp.com. Links in the description of BobSeska.com right under this podcast post so you can support all the bands, including Astral Summer and, of course, Richard Turgeon today. And BobSeska.com/music if you'd like to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing it. Okay, so Ron DeSantis on, I think it was Fox and Friends this morning, did his Donald Trump signing ceremony, where he signed this ridiculous set of election laws in Florida and then held up the thing and showed it off like Donald Trump used to do the show and tell of the things like, look, I wrote my name. Look at that. Isn't it amazing? I was able to write my name. I was able to remember it and then write it down on this piece of paper. Amazing. And so the crazy thing about this law, though, is up until the last second, Republicans in Florida were going, maybe this is not such a good idea. Maybe making it harder for people to vote by mail is really bad. Bad for the old
retirees.
Yeah, the retirees who often vote for Republicans.
Yep.
And so what the Republicans wanted to do is create special carve outs for their own supporters in this law so that they could have their cake and eat it too, have their bullshit and eat it too at the same time. And so that, of course, was nixed because that creates equal protection problems and the courts would devour that sort of thing. The ultimate point of legislation like this is not necessarily to fix any problems, because there are no problems. This law is entirely based, the same with the Georgia election law, it's entirely based on Trump's lies. And the reason everyone on the red hat side is applauding this thing is because it merely puts into the record the existence of Donald Trump's lies. Say, by trying to fix these problems that don't exist, we're actually codifying the shit that Donald Trump was saying. See, because we're reacting to nonsense. And so that actually helps them a little bit. It's like also with the abortion laws that often get overturned in court. They are just doing it to fluff their support. Look, look what we did about abortion. No one can have an abortion in our state. In fact, there's a new anti-choice law in Lubbock, Texas, that also makes it illegal to aid and abet someone having an abortion. You know, this is the kind of shit
they've
passed.
Been trying to do that for years. Like, if I drove out to Texas right now and tried to help some, especially somebody under 18, leave the state to get a safe abortion, it would be, you know, again, I could get arrested for that, which is some fucking, this is the United States. We're allowed to travel about freely.
That's right. Well, meantime, David, you want to talk about Arizona? This is the craziest fucking
this
thing in the world.
This fucking clown show.
Yeah, I'm sure you
the
know
bamboo,
about
the bamboo paper. That's what we're looking for.
Yes, they're scanning the ballots to make sure they weren't produced in China. And what are they looking for? They're looking for bamboo in the paper because for whatever fucked up reason, it's their biases, their bigotry, it's their lack of worldliness. They believe that, well, if it's paper that came from China, it must be made from bamboo. Because, you know, the Asians and their bamboo. I don't know what is the correlation? Like, oh yes,
racism and schizophrenia, probably a disaffective kind of dissociative disorder.
It's like they see the pandas eating bamboo shoots and they're like, oh, the pandas are eating bamboo and the panda and the bamboo are in China. So there must be bamboo in the Chinese paper that they used to create these fake ballots that swung the election to Joe Biden in Arizona. That's the thing. They somehow manage to hopscotch from pandas eating bamboo in China to Joe Biden winning in Arizona. That's kind of the logic that they're using here by looking for bamboo in the paper, these fucking morons.
Step four, profit.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Again, this is a bunch of people chasing phantoms, chasing, you know, like Donald Trump sits on the toilet, farts a bunch of times and puts those farts on the internet. And then all of these fucking idiots go running around chasing the farts. Like, you know,
we had to found a fartropolis.
Very, very smart. Well, at least Donald Trump's been vindicated, right? With this goddamn stupidity. Let's see what else here. Speaking of goddamn stupidity, just a brief word here about Mike Lindell. You know, Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell!
Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, was kicked off of Vimeo, finally. So, you know, I mean, Vimeo is just below Pinterest in terms of, is anyone still on Pinterest or Vimeo? It's like he got kicked off a platform that no one even really gives a shit about anymore.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Mike Lindell. You've been kicked off of the bargain basement version of YouTube. So sad. So sad. But, you know, these guys all at once screaming about cancel culture And oh my God, we're so embattled. The liberals are coming after us with their fucking cancel culture. At the same time, you know, not even country singers are safe from Trumpism. Tennessee Republicans blocked a measure that was honoring a gay country star named T.J. Osborne. Are you familiar with T.J. Osborne?
No.
Yeah. Well, GOP lawmakers in Tennessee blocked a measure in the state's House of Representatives honoring Brothers Osborne singer T.J. Osborne, who recently came out as gay.
Just came out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. You were saying he just came out.
He's got such a beautiful voice too. He's got like a deep baritone voice.
Yeah.
And he's good looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, the resolution would have commended Osborne for becoming a trailblazer and a symbol of hope for those country music artists and fans alike who may have felt ostracized from a genre they hold dear. So there's cancel culture, right? This is engaged in cancel culture. The other thing, the other example of Republican cancel culture, since they think it's just the left that's doing this. The other example is Larry Klayman, who's kind of a low-rung wingnut. Do you know Larry Klayman, David? Sounds like you do.
Larry Klayman is like the cheapest suit on the rack of ambulance chasing, like... You know, just completely spurious, laughed out of every major federal court in the country. Yeah. I mean, he writes these crazy lawsuits that are, of course, all about how everyone's out to get him.
Mm-hmm.
And like he and Roger Stone were just briefly like allies and then they started suing each other.
Yeah.
And if you've seen the deposition with him and Klayman and Stone, just I don't know what would necessarily, I don't want to come right out and say that he's done a mountain of cocaine the size of Machu Picchu, but he's acting like someone who had done that because I mean, he's clenching his jaws in this weird way and he's interrupting, but it's just like, God, if two assholes on this fucking planet ever deserve to be locked in a room together, it's Roger Stone and Larry Klayman.
That's right. Oh, you know what? By the way, speaking of Roger Stone, Kimberly and I determined that this sound right here sounds like it's Roger saying Roger Stone. Maybe we've gone nuts a little bit.
Roger Stone!
Yeah, exactly. It literally sounds like...
Now I can't unhear it. Jesus Christ.
It sounds like the musical version of the name Roger Stone. All right, well, you get the idea. But with Larry Klayman, the reason I brought up Larry Klayman...
You'd be saying Donald Trump.
Well, that too, man, that works also.
Like, yeah.
But the reason I brought up Larry Klayman is he sued Wonkette for libel, defamation. Mm. And this is the strategy. This is what they're doing. The people who are so desperately opposed to cancel culture are trying to sue people into silence. Yep. And all they're doing, Wonkette, everyone knows what Wonkette's all about. Wonkette's a great site if you want to go and get the latest news, but in a way that's sarcastic and full of jokes. That's where you go. That's what Wonkette is. Mm-hmm. They're just like the masters of snark, and they always have been at Wonkette. And so and it's very obviously an opinion website, and yet Larry Klayman wanted to sue them into silence. And I guess part of the point is to punish them by making them rack up legal fees, etc. But he has failed. Larry Klayman has failed. The judge in the case dismissed the case as it should be, saying that quite clearly this is opinion being expressed here. But this is the new trend, man. These guys, you say, oh my God. Didn't they do the entire CPAC? Wasn't the whole theme of CPAC this year was, fuck you, cancel culture.
Well, but basically, who would Jesus sue?
Conservatives were the first with cancel culture, with burning books, for fuck's sake.
Yes,
you know?
Indeed.
So it's like... In Beatles albums, I mean, God forbid you listen to a Elvis. I mean, they've been
SpongeBob,
doing this
forever. SpongeBob, the Teletubbies. Remember the Teletubbies? Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, if
Happy Days. I remember there was a huge flap about Happy Days. You know, and like,
yep.
I don't remember what it was now.
Probably Fonzie wearing a leather jacket, for fuck's sake, finally, after the first season when he was wearing that weird blue jacket. But
yeah,
whatever.
Right. Dixie Chicks.
Just, Dixie Chicks, absolutely. It's like... They're trying to cancel people learning about our actual history when it comes to the Native Americans and the people that were sold to us here in this country as property. And they don't want people to learn about that, white people to learn about that, because God forbid we learn from our mistakes. The Germans, okay, when I was young, this woman, 19 years old, by the way, she moved from Germany and she was working in our house. She did not learn about the Holocaust in high school because this was the 1970s. And in the 50s and 60s, they didn't teach it. They do now.
They didn't?
They didn't. She had no idea because they were still ashamed of it by that point. And it started, I think, in the 70s. She had moved here when she was 18, so she was very young. But when she was a kid, she didn't learn about that because it was an embarrassment to the country because it was still East and West and it was still, you know, that whole problem with Germany. So she didn't learn about it until later. And so at least now Germany goes, yeah, we did that. Let's not do that again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly fucking right. Well, I mean, the list is long, and we all know the examples. They're just, you know, they're whiny diaper babies, and the main objection is, you're being mean to me. What? And you're also being mean to Donald Trump. Stop being mean to Donald Trump. And so that's the driving force behind all of these moves. And, you know, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even seem new to me, because it just seems to me to be the same recycled PC stuff from the 90s. You know, it's like political correctness, and and I don't understand. It's just like, guys, we're just asking you to be slightly less of a dick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's slightly less racist, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the main problem with these guys, is they want to be able to say anything with impunity. And it just, the world doesn't work that way. You know, just get to say anything without any accountability whatsoever.
Right.
You know, and you can say the same to certain stand-up comics or whoever. You know, it's just like you're looking for consequence-free speech, and that's not how it works. You get free speech, but so do I. So exactly. Does Jody Hamilton and David Ferguson. We all have free speech. And so, you get to say whatever you want
if
to
ben
say.
If Ben Shapiro falls over in an empty wood, do we get offended? Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's see here. All right, I was just looking at an emergency text about something else, and I'm going to put that down for now. Okay, so we'll get back to wrapping up the show as I read my texts here on the air. Okay, we're going to switch over to the postmortem show on our Patreon page right now. Well, at least as soon as this music stops playing, we're going to keep on talking. We call that the postmortem show. And if you're not listening, you're missing out on a whole lot. So you want to go to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. Sign up for $5 a month, and there you go. Boom, you get two postmortem shows every week. That's like 8 shows a month for your $5. Plus, you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sign up for $10 a month. You get the two postmortem shows every week, plus the Friday after party with me and Kimberly. That's coming up tomorrow. Kimberly's still going to be. She's not in the same room as me this time, but she will be remote, almost like David and Jody. She's going to be joining that elite club. She's going to be
coming. I'm not remote. I'm very forthcoming.
That's actually true. Very, very true.
So true.
Meanwhile, don't forget to pick up Song to the Siren by Astral Summer at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. It's a brand new single.
Thank you for playing it.
What's that?
Thank you for playing it.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Anytime. I mean, it's just, look, all the music I play here in the show, I'm just honored to be able to do it. I'm so grateful for everyone sharing their work with me here. Meanwhile, Jody Hamilton can be found at patreon.com/from the bunker. Make sure to go support her, Sean Barton, David Shockett, and the entire crew at the From the Bunker podcast. That again, patreon.com/from the bunker. Meanwhile, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network is at sexyliberal.com. Go and support all the programs there by giving them a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you. Thank you in advance for doing that. Okay, that's it.
Love you guys. Bye.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday or tomorrow, for that matter. Bye-bye.